Warriors phone line, 654-ROAR. Appreciate Chris Pratt and the law firm sponsoring that. Personal injury, anything you need. If you have questions, do that. Call Chris and the Pratt injury law phone lines. And we were just talking about hats during the break. Ask me, do you still have your do not arrest this person hat? Just make sure you got that.
Of course I do.
When you have any issues out there and you upset South Carolina, do that. Call Pratt injury phone lines. Call their phone lines, but go to find out more about who they are and what they do. 864-LAW.com. 864-LAW.com. I've been thinking about doing a segment for a long time, and I wish it wasn't this week. But Luke Hopkins, who caddies on the PGA Tour, a former Clemson player, South Carolina amateur champion, by the way, joins us now in studio. I wish you were in Shinnecock, but since you're not, thanks for coming in, man. How you doing?
Thanks so much for having me, Mickey. This is really cool being here.
I think it's cool in that you listen on the road.
All the time, man.
Really?
You know, I was telling Ashby a story a minute ago in college. Coach Penley had the speakers on the driving range and always had the Roar on. And as a college kid, it annoyed me so bad. Man, put some music on. I want to listen to something. Get me going at practice.
Yeah.
Now, 10 years later, for the last probably 10 years, it's on every day.
You
walk
the
golf course, got a little AirPod in, listening, seeing what Mickey has to say if I get up that early, or, you know, Qualk, facts,
I love it,
I love it. I listen to it all the time.
I think that's awesome. You're on the road. You figured out how many days a year you're on the road?
It varies all the time. At one point this year, from like January 4th until April, I was home for a week.
That's crazy. And home is Greenville?
Home is Woodstock, Georgia, Northwest Atlanta.
I didn't know that.
My parents are still in Greenville.
Okay. All right. Let's go over a bunch. And the main thing I'm going to lead into, I talked to you into staying for a couple of segments because I want to talk about tour life, mini tour life, caddy life, what the lifestyles are like, and maybe some behind the scenes type stuff nobody, you know, we wouldn't know. With that said, let's talk about you a little bit. Great junior player here in Greenville, right?
Correct.
Eastside.
I went to Eastside High School.
Eastside, I remember that well. That's good. From a recruiting standpoint, Coach Penley was your guy. Would you consider anybody else?
For me, it came down to Virginia Tech, Florida State, and Clemson.
Right.
You know, Philip Mollica, Ben Martin, Vince Hatfield, they were all going to Clemson.
All South Carolina guys.
Correct.
Right.
And when I hung out with Coach Penley for the first time, I went home, I was like, oh, Mom, I want to play for Coach Penley.
Isn't that great? What is it?
He just has that vibe about you, man. You know, as a coach, he had us all laughing. He was fun to be around. He's fun to talk to. Yeah. And he simplified golf a lot. I remember I was struggling after college one time real bad. And I called him. I was like, Coach, I need you to check something before Q school. I'm not hitting it well. You've seen my golf swing more than anybody. I walked out on the range and he was like, dude, move it like 2 inches back in your stance. I don't know why you slid it up that far. Perfect.
Picked it.
That was it. It was not like, let me see your swing. Let's change this angle. Let's work on your back. Dude, move it back in your stance. Yeah. All right, you good. See you later.
Yeah. And the stripe.
Perfect. And I hit it great after. Yeah.
State AM champion. That had to feel good. Am I right by that? You're pretty dominant.
That summer was my best one by a landslide.
I played with you that summer. And Ashby, we were playing at the walk course one time, and he hits it like 3 miles. And I remember it like, man, you had it figured out and dialed in at that point in time. And then
when was this? How old were you?
That was 2007.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. So that was 19 years ago. Yikes.
Oh, I didn't want to hear that.
Man.
We talked about last time we saw each other and like, I don't even want to go back how far that was. All right. And then mini tour golf, you gave that a nice run.
After the national championship in 2010, I was like, man, I'm done with golf. It just stressed me out so much. I started working, met a couple guys, played in the random charity tournaments every year. And then some of the guys at Floor were like, hey, man, you need to play professional golf.
Right.
And I was like, it costs way too much money. I don't even really play that much golf anymore. And he was like, you need to do it. And oh, my gosh, that guy really changed my life completely for that. So I left Floor and went and played for 5 years. I missed finals Q school by one twice.
Ugh.
And that's brutal. Yeah. Mini tour golf life is brutal.
I tell people that all the time. Everybody sees the high end and the luxury and the private jets. But to get to that point, it's a lot like Ashby's boyfriend's Caden Grice, who played baseball here at Clemson. Now he's in the minor league. He's a double A guy now. And double A is better than it used to be. Single A is better than it used to be. But man, it's just not an easy life, right?
It's tough. You're trying to get better every day, and sometimes you get stuck there. You wonder. The wondering is the toughest part. Like, am I going to make it? Am I good enough to make it? What happens if I do make it? Some people, you know, I think I was almost a little bit scared of success. Coach right. Penley told me that one time. He was like, Luke, what are you going to do if you went on a PGA Tour? And I said, I don't know. He was like, I think you're scared to win. Mm. And I never really thought about that, but yeah. It's very true. Quote, right? Like, how am I going to handle it if I start winning on the PGA Tour?
Matt Hendricks told me one time, Matt was, I think I'm right with saying this, Walker Cupper at Clemson. You know Matt. 12-year Corn Ferry, 1-year PGA Tour.
Right.
I said, Matt, what's the difference? He goes, I've seen terrible swings make it on the big tour. And I've seen great swings not make it on Corn Ferry Tour. And I said, well, what's the difference? He goes, one thing, man, self-belief. If you Correct. Think you belong, you belong. If not, and it's so intimidating because you're out there with the greats. And if you don't think you belong, you won't belong.
And there's a very big difference between self-belief and being cocky.
Right.
It's just, you know, internally, right. I can do this, right. but not really, sure. I guess, showing that all the
How
time.
How did caddying start? What's the genesis of that?
Ben Martin.
Okay.
I never thought about caddying in my life. To be frank, when I used to watch caddies, I was like, I don't understand how they do that. Ben called me one day. We were talking about fantasy football, and he was like, well, I got another question for you. What do you think about caddying? I said, Ben, I don't think I can physically do it. And he was like, well, I know your personality, and I know you, and I know your golf game. I think you'd be really good at it, and I think you'd love it. You
what
need to come
this?
Do it. This is 2022.
Okay.
And I was like, Ben, I really don't think – can I call you back? He was like, I need to know soon. And I yeah. said, well, when do you want me to caddy? He said, this weekend in Boise, Idaho. I was like, oh, let me call you back.
Yeah, yeah. There you
so
go.
I went in the garage, got a backpack, put a 20-pound dumbbell in it, 40 golf balls, and I walked 12 miles just in circles around the neighborhood listening to the roar.
There you go, of course. Yeah. We'll
and then that. I think I had a little David Goggins in there too trying to fire me up a little bit.
Right. I'm dead.
And then I called him the next morning, and I was like, all right, man, I'm in. And I mean, I couldn't walk the next day. My hips back. I was like, yeah. I don't know how I'm going to do this. And then luckily, Boise, Idaho, the golf course there is extremely flat. And he was right, man. I loved it. And, you know, Ben outthinks nearly everyone on the golf course. And right. learning how to caddy from a friend that I could say, you know, we'd be in the fairway and he'd be like, hey, if he misses the green, go over there and rake his bunker. I'm like, why? He's like, because his caddy will clean my ball on the green. You're raking his bunkers just to keep everybody moving. So all the caddies help each other. I was like, oh, okay. Because yeah. I thought I was just Ben Martin's guy.
Right.
And, you know, I can't thank Ben enough. I've had a blast caddying
Did
for
it,
him.
Because you're competitive in junior. You're competitive for the first 20-something years of your life. And I, maybe you're competing in, I don't know, adult softball leagues or something like that, or in business somehow, some way. But did you miss the competitive part of it? And does this take place a little bit of that now?
Yes. The part of golf that, you know, I wanted it so bad. And, yeah. you know, once I started caddying, I learned very quickly why I didn't make it on the PGA Tour. Just their work ethic, how they practice. You know, they're never just hitting balls. It's always working on something. Or they're never just putting. It's always doing something. And, you know, from a competitive standpoint, I do miss that yeah. a lot of times.
You still playing?
Very rarely. Five
See,
times a year,
I think
maybe.
Now, I think you'd be a better player now.
100%.
Michael Manis, I play, you know Michael.
Yeah.
I play with him, and, you know, he was a phenom as a kid. And I played some amateur golf with him. And I'm telling you, what he thought, I'd watch him like, he never short-sides himself. He always hits the right club. He's always right distance. I'm like, I know being a tour caddy helped him.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%. When I go play golf now, the game is so much easier.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, the pin's over there on the right. I'm aiming five left because I don't feel comfortable with this club. And if I miss, I want to be left of the green or whatever. Just
love it.
I make a lot less mistakes.
All right. I want to talk about caddy life and tour life. But let me ask you, we'll start off now. You're with a different player now.
Correct.
And now Ashby it knows this. I am famous for mispronouncing names. For his guy now, who is from, let me try this out, South Africa. You like it?
Muscle Bay, South Africa.
South Africa.
Yeah, I can't do that.
That's good, okay. Mickey.
All right, thank you very much. You got to roll it sometimes. My buddy Trey Lee knows Ernie Els, and he would say, oh, hey, Trey. So you got a little in there. All right, with that being said, forever, I said, oh, yeah, Aldrich Potgieter, but that's not it. All right.
No, it's not it.
All right, give me two pronunciations. Give me the American pronunciation first. On the TV, what are they going to say? How would we say it?
Aldrich Potgieter.
Aldrich Potgieter. All right. How does he say it?
I'm not sure that I can do that properly. It's kind of like a loogie sound or something. So okay. It's Aldrich Potgieter. I can't do it. Potgieter. Potgieter.
I will always mess it up. I will say it the American way.
Make you get working.
But now, you got a horse. This guy hits bombs. I'm about to say something else. This guy hits missiles.
He hits it further than anybody I've ever seen by a landslide.
He hits it farther than anybody out there now?
Yes.
All right. How do you club that guy?
You just do it with numbers. You know, I've told...
Is he a meters guy, by the way?
Meters.
So you got to do it meters?
Correct. I say this as a joke, but it's 100% true. When I started pacing meters, as soon as I step, as soon as my hamstring gets tight, that's a meter.
Okay.
And
which is more than a yard.
Just a little bit, like 4 inches more.
Okay. So the yardage, the sprinklers, or whatever you're looking at, on your yardage, that's in yards.
No, that's in meters. Oh, so yes. It makes it easy. As long as I can pace it right. When you check in at a golf tournament, they say, do you want a meters book or a yards book?
Okay.
So that makes it a lot easier.
I'm thinking you're doing 1 point whatever in your head. You're not having to do that.
I just have to shut off my ears on the tee box because I hear other guys like, all right, 187 to the flag. And I'm like, what? Dude, I got 171.
What? Dude, am I off that much?
Yeah.
All right. How'd you hook up with him?
Fishing.
Okay.
So one of my good friends, Johan Swanepoel, caddies for Christian Bezuidenhout, another South African, and I was hanging out at his house.
They were saying that wrong, too, by the way.
I'm sure I got that wrong myself.
You didn't hock any loogies over
there. Right, so it was incorrect, right.
Sure.
So he was like, I got a kid coming over that loves fishing. You should go down and fish with him. So I fished with him like 6 times. Didn't even know he played golf. So I finally asked him, I was like, what are you in the United States for? And he was like, oh, I play golf. I said, oh, what tour are you playing on? He was like, well, I'm on Corn Ferry now, but I should be on the PGA Tour next year.
See, that's the self-belief.
And hearing that as a caddy, I was like, what? Who's this dude? I had never heard of this dude. I went home and Googled him. I was like, oh, my gosh, dude. He's the youngest player to ever shoot 59, youngest player to ever win on the Corn Ferry. He was in, like, fourth on the money list. I was like, holy crap, that kid wasn't kidding.
Yeah.
And then I told him Ben was injured at the time. And I was like, look, man, if you need a caddy, let me know. He said, dude, I got your phone number. I'll call you if I want you to caddy. I was like, okay. So the next year on tour, I would see him and hang out a little bit. And then, you know, Ben and I had a chat at the beginning of the year. So we knew that was a possibility. Yeah. And then all of a sudden my phone rang. He was like, hey, man, I just fired my caddy. Do you want to come work for me? And I was like, oh, my gosh, this is the Masters coming up.
Yeah.
All the elevated events. I was like, oh.
How do you handle what, like, personality wise, completely different than Ben, I would think, right?
He's somewhat similar. You know, they're both very high in their faith and they're both very nice. You know, this is also kind of funny. Ben and Aldrich hit the ball the exact same numbers wise, but Aldrich's in meters.
So that helps. That helps.
So when I see 178, as a number, I'm like, oh, perfect 7-iron.
What percentage of your day is cheerleading compared to focusing hyper? I mean, are you just as much of a mental guy as you're a physical guy? You get numbers, the physical part of it, the computing part of it, but are you're a psychologist too?
I say that's more important than the numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, they've played golf their whole life. They know how far they hit the ball. They know what shot they want to hit. But trying to keep somebody in the best mood to hit their best shot. Yeah. Under whatever pressure is sitting there. So I think the biggest factor in doing that is being the same person every single day. He's going to get looped the exact same way, whether we're leading or whether we're in last place.
Right. And that's, I mean, that's a process then, part of a whole process through all that.
Correct.
All right. I talked to you to stay in an extra segment because I want to know tour life and caddy life. Like, what's that like? What's a week like? What's the accommodations, the travel, the cost, if you can talk about some of that stuff, the sponsorship stuff. Can we get some of that?
Absolutely.
And then I'm preparing you, man. I got to know at the end, who are my dudes?
Oh,
who,
yeah.
Who can I pull for? Who's like, man, you'd love this guy. You'd love to have this guy over for dinner at night. All right. Short break?
Whenever.
Love it. Let's do it. All right. Ashby, let's take a short break. We'll come back. Luke Hopkins, PGA Tour caddy, former Clemson player in South Carolina, amateur champion, joins us of segment number two of this hour right after this.
From the first kickoff in Death Valley to the final pitch in Doug Kingsmore, we're your flagship station for Clemson Athletics all year long. The Clemson Athletic Network lives right here on The Roar. On The Roar, where every day is game day.
I have to do something with Ingles, all right? So today I will go – we're going to Dollywood a little later today, all right? And we're going with another family, all right? The family, I introduced them to this Biscoff cookie that they have, and they've got it at Ingles. And the family fell in love with it. So this morning I'm headed to Ingles, and it will be a quick in and out. I might get a little Starbucks, okay? Let's be honest about it. But in the end, it's going to be this Biscoff cookie that's going to be amazing. And we might even pack a cooler. I might even pack some cream sodas up in Dollywood. But a short run because – and here's the thing about Ingles. I know where everything is. I know where the Biscoff cookie is. Might swing by the bakery too. Do this, and this won't be a pickup line, you know, curbside pickup deal. We'll go in and take care of it at Ingles. And with a great grilling weekend, by the way, the weather's great and fantastic. Let's do that. It's our great friends at Ingles. Low prices, love the savings, love my great friends at Ingles.
We make traffic a little more tolerable. The Upstate Sports Leader.
That's right.
Well, let's go good people. Let's go supporting, you know, high character, high moral guys. Let's go this route here locally. And for your other end of it, I mean, you don't have to support somebody because they're just good people. They're the best product out there, the best service out there. Don't go with that big box. I hear the nightmares of the big box people. Bottom line is we get the good end of this thing. It's our great friends over at Aldry. Rapid response team, local response team. They're going to answer your calls. You're not getting a phone bank. I called a company the other day and got in the phone bank. And I talked to AI, and they're setting up an appointment for me. I'm like, oh, I don't like this. We love this. It's our great friends at Aldry, myaldry.com. Text line 9167 said, Luke Hopkins played Little League Baseball together, went to high school together. Fantastic guy, of course. I'll find out who this is on this. So good stuff there. All right, let me ask you about caddy life. You are, when do you get there? How do you get there? Where do you stay? What are you responsible for while you're there? Bags, club, I mean, you know, locker stuff. Like, how does that work?
A lot of it depends on the player. Obviously, as a caddy, you say, you know, you learn pretty quick when you go. I like to get there Sunday. I book my own Airbnbs. I try to stay with other caddies sometimes. You know, we have a lot of fun doing that. But I get there Sunday afternoon, Sunday night. Monday morning, depending on what Aldrick wants to do, I'm walking the golf course because I like to see it before a practice round. So I'm not out there trying to take notes, figure out where bad spots are, good spots. I want to do that all before we walk the golf course. Mondays are normally pro-am, so I have to sneak out before the pro-am or after. It just depends on what the schedule is from the tournament standpoint. Tuesday is my busiest day by far. That's when all the players play the most. There are no pro-ams. The course is open. So we'll normally play – we either practice all day Monday, and I'll walk the golf course when we're not practicing. Tuesday we'll play, and then I'll walk the golf course or see whatever I've missed. Wednesday is always the pro-am, and they do the pro-am kind of based on where you are on the FedEx Cup. So we'll play – like if our pro-am tee times the back nine – then on Tuesday we'll play.
There's playing nine hole pro-ams.
Now they do,
yeah,
which I think is good.
For yeah, I do too. Right.
The players playing 18 holes, that's outrageous the day before an event.
Yeah.
And, you know, from an amateur standpoint, now you get to play 18 holes with two pros.
Right.
So it makes
right.
it better for the pro and the.
Now majors are different.
No majors, pro-ams. There are no pro-ams.
Right.
That
but you're still playing nine holes, right? Guys, just they don't want to get worn out.
Correct.
A lot of times. Does Aldrick play nine holes or 18 holes? Is he ever to play all 18?
He likes to practice more than he plays, and then play.
So you're
the
sitting there while he's practicing
a lot.
Just learning, but still, at some point in time, it's a little yawn fest, a little bit. Like you want to get out and.
He's just watching divots fly for forever.
Yeah.
But it is fun to watch him, seeing him. You know.
Does it sound different when he hits it?
It's outrageous. Yeah. It really is. The fastest I've seen from him is 201 miles an hour.
Oh my gosh.
All right. So you take care of your accommodations, your travel. He keeps the golf clubs.
He keeps the clubs with him. I am in charge of like the bag. So if we get on the first tee on Thursday and there's only three golf balls in the bag, that's on me. With Ben did his whole golf bag and then would text me and say the bag's ready. Aldrick just tells me what he wants.
And different players ask different stuff of caddies. Some caddies are very involved, some of them are just tote it.
Correct.
Okay. Would you rather – you'd want to be involved, though.
I like being involved. That makes it more fun.
Can
for
you
sure.
tell the difference in an elite caddy and a good caddy or a poor caddy?
I can see a poor caddy faster than who's elite. I think that's more of what you're talking to your player on the golf course, what makes you elite.
Besides Luke Hopkins, who are the elite caddies?
Mike Greller.
Yeah.
Jordan Spieth's caddy.
Yeah.
You know,
who takes it, man?
I mean, he...
Wrong club, Michael.
He gets ripped verbally, and he's got to get numbers from everywhere. Some of the numbers he has to give are three fairways over in the trees.
He has to be the most mentally tough guy.
He does, buddy.
He does.
But he's a great caddy.
Yeah, he's very good. Yeah. Teddy Scott's very good.
Oh, I got to ask you a Teddy Scott question. Because I follow him on Instagram, and I follow his sermons. And obviously, his faith is he's unwavering and all that. Is he as good a guy as he comes across on social media?
100%. That he's, you know, him and Scotty both, they're the same person in an interview as they are if you're talking to them. Teddy is fantastic. I went on a men's retreat with him in Alabama. Man, it was fantastic. Awesome. He's great. He's very competitive.
And you just had a, you were telling us off the air about a pretty cool trip with him.
Yeah, it was my first event with Aldrick. I was with Ben in Colombia and then went from Bogota, Colombia, straight to Pebble Beach. We were doing Riviera the next week, so I was just going to drive from Monterey to L.A. It was like 6.5 hours. So I was eating lunch after the round, and Teddy came up and was like, "Hey, how are you getting to Riviera?" I said, "Oh, I'm driving." He said, "When are you leaving?" I said, "Hour or so." He said, "Can I ride with you?" I was like, "Oh, man, sure. That'd be awesome." You know, I was really excited.
This is Scotty Scheffler's caddy, like the number one most recognizable caddy on tour, probably.
Correct.
Right.
So I was very excited. I'm going to ask him all kinds of questions about caddy and just trying to learn, you know, whatever. And so he calls me 30 minutes later, and he's like, "Hey, man, change of plans. My boss wants me to fly with him." I was like, "Oh, okay." I was a little bummed. He was like, "But..." He also said you could come too. Meet me at Monterey Regional Airport in 20 minutes.
Yes.
I was like, what?
Stop.
Yes.
So I like hustled over to the airport, walked in. They were like, "We'll take care of your car, sir. Go out here on the plane." This lady came out, waved her hand, and I just walked straight on the plane. So I'm sitting there with Teddy. I'm like, "Teddy, what's happening?"
Yeah.
And then Scotty walks on. He's like, "Hey, Luke, how's it going, man?" Sits down.
Scotty Scheffler.
Like,
"Hey,
yeah,
Luke."
Yeah. And I was like, "I thank you. Can I give you $100?
Yeah.
He's like, "Oh no, dude, anytime." Yeah. I was like, "Anytime, don't tell me that."
Don't
man.
Say that.
Yeah. No, I'll be following you around.
So who else on the plane?
It was me, Teddy Scott, Scotty Scheffler, Meredith, his wife, and their little son. And the little son was, quick story about that, he was hitting golf balls the whole time on the flight.
On the flight.
No way.
And he made contact with one and it went all the way around the plane twice. The pilots were laughing. I had tears in my eyes, laughing so hard. We about lost some shins.
They're as good of people as I think they are.
It's, you know, you compared Meredith to Kathleen Sweeney. I haven't been fortunate enough to meet Kathleen, but Meredith is one of those. It's like you have to second guess yourself. Like, is she that nice? Like, there's no way she's not that nice. She just made everyone like. You're in a fantastic mood. "Hey, Luke, how are you? Fantastic. Thanks so much for getting on the plane." Yeah. Like, why are you thanking me for getting on? What are you talking about?
I say, honest goodness, and I'm embarrassed now. Ashby's that way as well. And there's just, we get
Stop.
So, no, it's true. We get so jaded by life that when you meet Kathleen, or in this case, Scotty, Meredith Scheffler, in our case here, and you just met Ashby 5 minutes ago, right? So, or 15, 20 minutes ago. It's the same thing. It's like you get jaded and thinking, man, God didn't make these kind of people.
Right.
But they do. He does.
They're there.
They're there. That's not fake.
It's sad that it catches you off guard.
Right. But Scotty's just that unassuming guy.
He's great.
He a little goofy.
He's 100% goofy. I was standing on the putting green at the PGA, and he doesn't really talk much at golf tournaments. He's very focused.
Right.
And so I don't say hey to him or anything, and I feel like we should at least – say hey to each other. I mean, I flew on the plane with you. Like, are we friends or not? I don't know.
Yeah.
And he never says anything, but he just walked by and pinched my nipples and kept walking. Didn't say a word.
Hold on. Scotty Scheffler's pinched your nipples.
All right. Breaking news.
I was like, what just happened?
All right.
Oh, hey, man.
Tour life at that level, at that top 25, even top 50, like, that's elite level, but that's, like, really – bougie, if you want it to be. Like, private jets everywhere. Sponsorships, I mean, just money's just outrageous.
It comes at you sideways, and you don't. It adds up quick. Hey, man, can I give you $6,000 to use this towel? Sure.
So,
perfect.
So companies come to caddies.
Now they do, I guess.
And give you $6,000 to use their towel.
That's what happened with the towel I carry now, Elite Fleet.
I love that. Well, Elite Fleet, what a great company.
Coincidentally, it's a private jet company.
There you go. All right. And like you said, when Aldrich signs a deal, you take part in that deal at time too, like the hat?
That just came with his contract. Like, every manufacturer is different. So Aldrich's PXG, and it's written in his contract that his caddy wears PXG as well, and then they give him money to give the caddy.
Okay. Awesome.
So I used to wear a Valspar hat, which is like a caddy-driven kind of sponsorship, and then you get points based off on how many weekends you play, where you finish. If you get a win, you get a bonus. Top tens are bonuses, and then at the end of the year, you get a little check. But I can't do that anymore because I have to wear a PXG.
All right, he pays you. Is there a standard rate out there? Is there a winning rate, a percentage rate? I don't want to get into the specific dollars of it, but how does it work?
Well, it all varies. So you get, I guess, like a check for coming to caddy. So if you miss the cut, depending on how expensive your flight was, your Airbnb, your hotel, or whatever, your rental car, that kind of covers that. And then there's percentages.
His representatives are doing that. He's not doing that, though. Like, he's got his own people sending you that kind of stuff, right? He's got reps to do all that stuff.
Right, okay. Right.
All right. Let me get into what I really want to get into.
Okay.
I watch the PGA Tour every week. I need to know. I ask Phil Pott this question all the time. When he goes and interviews the Oklahoma State coach, they're playing TCU. I mean, all right, what kind of dudes are they? He does Roy Williams, North Carolina basketball game. What's Roy like? What do I want Roy at my house? And there's only been a couple of guys that says no. Who are my guys, man? Who are the dudes that that I would want to come over and cook out in the back deck with us, have a beer with us?
I'm going to leave some out of this. I would say there are way, way more good dudes than there are bad dudes. I don't even know that there's a full handful of dudes that aren't as good. One of my favorites that you're always in a good mood talking to is Jake Knapp. I'm a big Jake Knapp fan. Right. And you could watch his golf swing
Silky
all
smooth.
Day. Good night. It's good.
How does he hit it so far with that kind of tempo?
I always laugh. We were talking about it at the Players' Championship. I was like, you know, all these golfers have all these – you know, girls that are fans, girls sliding in DMs or whatever, and his is all frat dudes.
So I love you so much.
He was like, your swing is just so butter. He was like, I just get frat dudes all the time.
Right, I didn't know this. I'm a Jake Knapp fan now.
Yes. All right. Lucas Glover.
Of course.
He is widely known as one of the best dudes. I'm having Ben Martin over for dinner every night too.
Yeah, no doubt. But knowing both those guys well, and Lucas is like turning to the old guy on tour now, like the veteran. The
it's weird,
guy now,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But he's still always. Yeah. All Lucas is great. Gary Woodland. I know everyone recently has learned more about him. He is. Always been very, very nice. And that was when it caught me off guard, because if I'm watching him on TV, the way he carried himself, I'm like, that guy's cocky. I bet I don't like him at all. And then I finally meet him. I'm like, oh, my gosh, he's fantastic. Sam Burns is great.
Is he?
We talk a lot of crap about LSU and Clemson. And I told him last week in Canada, he was like, what's up, Luke? How you doing, man? I was like, man, I'm already nervous about that game in LSU. He was like, well, we're either going to hate Lane Kiffin or we're going to love him.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I can tell you I won't ever love him. I don't think.
I like it.
Another one that catch you off guard is Alex Noren. He is
super. I showed you his hands. Actually, I showed you this before.
Look
up Alex Noren hands.
Okay.
And that's what it takes to be a PGA Tour.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Oh, okay. Hold on.
Alex Noren, I will say his caddy is one of my good buddies.
Swedish guy.
Yeah.
He will finish a round. I'm very thankful that Aldrich doesn't do this, but if he finishes a round at noon, he probably leaves the golf course at 6 p.m.
Okay.
He practices all day, every day. So I'm assuming his hands are pretty wild.
All right. I show people this when they say, I want to be a PGA Tour player.
Oh, my gosh.
If you're listening right now, just Google Alex Noren's hands, and that's what it takes.
It does not take that, but that is certainly very hard work.
That's it.
Yeah. JJ Spahn's great, too.
Is he?
Yeah, he's fantastic. He calls me Clemson. Always puts a P in there.
That's an old Rick Stockstill move. He never knows anybody's name, but he knows where everybody's from. And
that
helps him to remember.
It kind of helps you feel seen, though. You know, like, even more than knowing your name. I know something about you. I don't mind that. That's awesome.
I like it, man, for sure. And so some of your college contemporaries, are a couple of guys still out there? Like Ben's obviously still out there. I'm talking about guys you played against.
Oh, yeah. So Brian Harmon. Yeah. Harris so English is very good, too. I forgot Harris.
To dinner with Brian Harmon.
He'll serve you some duck or something that he's been hunting, but unless you're talking about hunting, he's probably not going to have too much say to you.
All right, I got you.
Golly, I'm trying to – from Clemson, you know, Jacob Bridgman, I fished with him all the time. Dude. He is so good.
I tell the story during COVID – I was a member at a golf club that you know, outside play wasn't really a thing there, and they didn't have a place to play. So twice Jacob texted me, or Jordan texted me, said, "Hey, man, can you get these guys on at this other place?" So, and I went, "Yeah, sure." I made a phone call, and it was easy. Like, my best friend in the world is the head pro, and he said, "Yeah," had him over. And both times, man, he calls me as soon as the round's over. "Hey, we're in the car. I just want to thank you." Like,
yeah.
But you don't have to do that kind of stuff.
Jacob's fantastic.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorite. I was so happy to see him win at Riviera. I went to dinner with him every night that week, him and his wife. And
yeah,
Aldrich was playing really good, and Jacob was playing really good. So dinner, I'm like, what do I talk about? Dude, I can't talk about golf. No. He's winning the tournament by five. You can't.
Yeah.
As a caddy, man.
It's like the no-hitter.
You get superstitious big time. There are so many shirts I'll wear. And then Aldrich won't play good that day. That shirt's gone.
That's
not
it.
Wearing it again.
Burn it.
Underwear's out. Done.
That's your job. You're the superstitious guy. You got to take care of all that stuff.
That's right.
Can we do this more often?
Absolutely, man.
Who's
going to
win
the blast?
I'm taking Matthew Fitzpatrick.
That's who I like.
Really?
That's great. Who I like.
Good dude?
Yeah. I don't know him extremely well, but Matt's very nice.
Yeah.
I don't talk to him a ton.
What about his story's brother, man? Like, that guy's playing.
That was one of the wildest things I've seen on the PGA Tour in a while.
And Ben played well that week.
Yes, he sure did.
To secure some stuff. I have a million other questions, but unfortunately, they tell me I have to take breaks.
I'd love to do this anytime. Right, this is fantastic.
And we can do it from the road, too, by the way. So let's set that up. Congratulations, man. Career's great. I asked you the other day, if something fell through with Aldrich, like, you've got access now. Like, you're known. Like, you can get...
I'd like to think so. You know, I'm 39.
How long you want to do it?
Till my legs don't work.
Okay. And you can make a really, really good living now. So you got into it at a good time.
I think so. It feels like it anyway.
Good for you. And you got a horse.
Thank you, Ben Martin, for getting me involved in this, for sure.
Luke Hopkins, man, great stuff. Safe travels, and keep me informed on the tour.
Thank you so much, Mickey. I really appreciate it.
Awesome stuff. Hey, let's take a short break. As we come back, we go from Luke Hopkins to Jim Anthony. He's in town, and he's got a great new project coming up. So I can't wait to do that. Much more when you come back after this.
If you don't agree with one of our hosts,
you're an idiot.
Let us know on the Pratt Injury Lawyers phone line at 864-654-ROAR. The Roar, where every day is game day.
Ashby is a veteran of the ladies' clinic. You actually worked it last year. Have you got plans already? Everything good for the ladies' clinic? You all set?
Oh, yeah. We're fired up. It's going to be awesome.
Dabo's allinteam.com. Go to it. Learn more about the ladies' clinic. They do a terrific job there. Obviously, we're talking about raising money for breast cancer awareness and everything that's going on there. But the ladies' clinic, July the 18th, go ahead and get signed up for it now. Register now. You know these things go fast. So Dabo's All In Team. We are very proud to be the presenting sponsors for this with a ton of things that's going to happen that day. Think about it. It's the All In Ladies Clinic, Saturday, July the 18th. That's an official kickoff of an unofficial kickoff for college football season as well. So register online. Learn more about it. Any questions you have, it's Dabo'sAllInTeam.com.
For all the dads who
there, my son talked about Double Dog yesterday. Double Dog video. We needed a video. Matter of fact, I got to think with Roy and Mr. Anthony that, man, we're talking about Double Dog video with some great drone shots of what they do. Hey, if you need a great video for your website, you need a great video for your social media, Double Dog video. They've got this Double Dog there. If you don't like your video, you give it back. They give you money back. No one's ever done it. 30 years of experience, John and his team. When we needed a video, we went with them. The very best in the business, DoubleDogVideo.com. Appreciate Luke Hopkins coming in. And now Roy Koshner and Jim Anthony coming in with us. And I always love seeing you guys. Good morning. You guys doing okay?
Sir.
Awesome. Awesome. Roy, let's ask about some things going on. Obviously, you guys are busy. And this young fella keeps you busy all day long. You know.
That's
how
very
do you keep
right.
up with I told Luke, who was in before, I said, I'm not going to ask you your age because you're going to tell me a lie about it. Every time you come in and you try to say how old you are, and I'm going, you're 10 years younger than that. So I don't know why you tell fibs about your age.
Well, actually, I'm only 53.
Okay. All right. Now we know the truth.
Actually, I'm 82.
I don't believe that for one bit. You shouldn't be fibbing on the radio like that. You keep up with an 82-year-old man. He keeps you going, huh?
He keeps me young. He keeps me young.
That's right. That's exactly right. Hey, tell me, give us an update. Longview, Carolina, we had a big campaign. You had us up there on a couple different occasions. What a beautiful piece of property. What's the update there?
Longview, Carolina has been incredible. I mean, in just 2 years, we're down to our last 10 lots out of 88 in total, and it's been really incredible to see the community truly come together. It's really been centered on that community focus around the farm, shared spaces, stewarding the land, and growing their own food. And we attribute a lot of that success to working with you guys here at The Roar.
Well, no. Mr. Anthony, you'll tell us, good piece of property, pretty easy to sell. That's a great piece of property for sure. Speaking of which, you got new communities? I know you always got something. Your mind's always working this way. Well, tell us about some new stuff going on up at Lake-wise, Lake Jocasta, Lake Kiwi area.
Yeah, we're really excited to talk about that. You know, you've heard the old adage, location, location, location.
Right.
Well, this property is all of that. If you can imagine, you know, 226 acres, and we're tucked right in against Jocasta and the upper end of Lake Kiwi. Actually, we're a mile from Kiwi. We have 42 boat slips on Kiwi, a boat ramp. But equally important is that one, like I said, less than a mile from Devil's Fork State Park. So our really claim to fame is that you can have your boat in our boat storage, and you pick up the phone. You can imagine you're out sitting on the back deck with your wife, and it's 9 o'clock on Saturday morning. Let's go spend the day on Jocasta. Mm. That'd be impossible without our situation. So you call down to the boat storage. Hey, we'll be down in 10, 15, 20 minutes, and put us on Jocasta. And by the way, no place to park, so drop us out and come back and pick us up at 4 o'clock. This is the only place that can happen.
Oh, cool.
So we're really excited about it.
How cool. I've had people tell me they get off Jocasta for the first time, and they say, I felt like I was in New Zealand. Well, you can be in New Zealand in South Carolina, and you make one phone call, and you're there in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
That's a pretty cool deal.
We call it the Tahoe of the East.
I love it. I love it. I love it for sure. Roy, tell me about, I hear it referred to as legacy. What does that mean?
In most communities, the developer keeps the amenities and runs them as an ongoing revenue stream. We're kind of giving that up here with the purchase of an equity membership. You don't just get access. You own a share of the boat storage, the dock structures, the two lakefront pavilions, and the waterfall pavilion, together with the other property owners. You're holding equity in the place that you live, and that's what makes it a legacy. The membership is tied to your lot, so it passes down to your family or transfers to the next owner when you sell. So really, it's really about creating that lifelong legacy for the families that are participating in Falls Park at Kiwi.
I failed to mention that, but do people know what we're talking about? Falls Park at Kiwi,
yes,
is the name of this deal there. You come up with some great names through the years. How do you, did this come to you with these projects, these properties?
Well, you know, it really is, takes on all the it is a park.
Yeah.
You know, our 226 acres, we have trails up beside McKinney Creek, we actually have the waterfall. Yeah. So it really is a park.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy to name it.
Well, I wouldn't. I might could do some of that stuff. I wouldn't put any project you had, we didn't have trails and outdoor stuff. I'll talk about that in a minute. One of the most important things is, because the ladies listening and the guys listening want to know about the home sites. You got some awesome home sites, about what they would look like, projected costs maybe is a thing you might want to talk about a little bit. What kind of area we're talking about? What kind of homes we're talking about?
You know, that's something I really, that's my golf. My therapy is laying out home sites.
Yeah.
So you can take a piece of land, it's almost like a stone, and you start chiseling away, and soon you got a diamond. And this is a real diamond.
Yeah.
Because the whole goal is to give everybody this tranquil setting where for instance, you're looking one of the waterfall view lots, you're looking right into a waterfall, or you got a mountain view, a lake view, or you've nestled just against the 50 acres of green space.
Yeah.
So that's the goal. We'll be able to pull that off. And so it just creates tranquility in every single home site.
Roy, like anything else, the earlier lots go faster. How does someone get in touch with this great opportunity? And now's a great time to do it. I know there's a sense of urgency maybe with this project.
Absolutely. I mean, share a little bit about it. We have 71 lots in total. They average about 2 acres in size. And so far, we've just released our reservation program in the last couple weeks. And we already have in the 20s, I believe, high 20s on the reservations that we have. But effectively allowing people to get in the queue. And so there's still an incredible opportunity to get involved with roughly 50 lots out of the 20-some-odd reservations that we have remaining. And we encourage folks to go check it out online at fallspark@kiwi.com. They can place their reservation online right now and get in queue, ultimately working towards a closing in the next couple months.
All right, Mr. Anthony, everybody, we talk about lakefront a lot and location a lot. What would you say to someone that's currently looking in that area with this project? What does that mean?
Well, you know, none of our lots are lakefront lots. And if someone wants that lakefront lot, there's a few still on Kiwi. The average price is $1 million. And that's all well and good. But if you purchase one of our properties, you know, the average price is about $300,000. Then you walk away with another $700,000 to spend on your house.
Yeah.
So, but
yeah.
the real difference here is if you're on the lake, and if you're like me, if I have a whole day, I'm going to spend it on Joe Cassie. If an afternoon, I'm going to spend it on Kiwi. So you can be on that on the lake with that lakefront lot, but you don't have the opportunity to pick up the phone and say, hey, put my boat in Joe Cassie and make it seamless.
Yeah.
And so that's a real home run.
Well, that idea too is that, you know, the best days when you buy a boat and sell a boat because of all the things that go on with a boat, you're going to take care of all that for you. You're going to put the boat on and have it ready to go.
Well, like me, you know, I'm going to be on the lake. Vicky and I will probably be on the lake 6, 8, 10 times, and I don't even want to own a boat. I want to lease their boat for the day.
Right, because you're a smart businessman. You know how that works.
Yeah, exactly.
Roy, did we miss anything? I always say we bring Mr. Anthony in. I got a million questions to pick his brain about because I don't get access like you guys get it. Did I miss anything else? What else do people need to know about how to get in touch and what all's going on with this project and time frame and all that?
Yeah, I mean, the sense of urgency is right now to get in queue so that you have – it's first come, first serve on those reservation bases. Man, we have two different tiers of lots. We've got what are called our legacy lots that are able to participate in the boat marina and day use slips. We have 28 slips and a private landing on Kiwi. We also have heritage lots. Those are more of an exclusive number with a total of 18. And what we're looking at there is that 6 of those will be able to have a private slip, and the other 6 will be able to share with their neighbor. And so for folks that are interested in being able to have a private slip on Lake Kiwi, as well as that access to Joe Cassie, the marina, the pavilions, the social settings, and dining on the water, that is now is the time to get involved.
No doubt about that. FallsparkAtKiwi.com. FallsparkAtKiwi.com. Mr. Anthony, I am proud. When we leave here in this segment, I'm proud to tell you that my 7-year-old son is 100% obsessed with hunting and fishing. And I bought my very first fishing license because I fished as a kid and didn't need one. Hadn't fished in 40 years. I'm going to show you some pictures of some bass and some brim and some catfish guys pulling out right now. But my point through all that is, man, the great outdoors. And I know it's something so near and dear to your heart.
It really is. And, you know, as a matter of fact, I'll invite you to come up and bring your son and
Let's
catch a few trout in my pond.
Let's do that.
Hey, so, you know, it's dear to my heart. The outdoors is a big part of who I am. And so we're working right now with getting kids out of doors. We're working with the school systems. And kids come out and hike our trails at Balance Point and find the arrowheads. Would you believe, Mickey, that there's kids 8, 10 years old never been in the woods?
No.
We're dealing with that. And we're excited about Pamela Evett. She's been a real asset to us. She's really all about education. So we have a meeting set up with her after the runoff, and she gets past that little snafu. Yeah. Actually, she took some of her lady friends that went up and spent the night with our Joe Cassie Point property. So we're excited about working with Pamela.
Oh, no doubt about that. And excited about getting kids outside.
Outside, outdoors.
Now, one, I'll tell you this. You don't have to worry about my son doing it because he's all into it. I'm going to show you some pictures here in a second. How's the memoirs coming? I need the book. Are you getting close to writing one? Is it coming? You going to write one here soon?
You know, I think I'm going to have to do that because, you know, I just look at the opportunity that I've had and I'd like to – I mean, for instance, gratitude.
Yeah.
Gratitude is a big part of who I am, and so it has results. You want to give back.
No doubt about that. And I'd love to do that for sure. Hey, anytime you guys come back, it's always love to seeing you. Love to know about you. It's fallspark@kiwi.com. Roy, Mr. Anthony, the very best to you guys. And we'll continue to tell folks about this. If a sense of urgency, though, now's the time to do this. fallspark@kiwi.com. Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Appreciate that.
Thank you.
For sure. Let's do that again sometime very, very soon. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We're going to talk Clemson football recruiting. We'll do that with Paul Strelo of TigerIllustrated.com. And then take a phone call or two. 654-ROAR, 654-7627. With Ashby and Mickey, love for you to return. Hour number three when you come back right after this.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson, Greenville Anderson, WAHD-AM 1560, Cowpens, 97.5 Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
With the Roar app,
whenever your Clemson Tigers are playing,
touchdown! The game is streaming live from anywhere in the world.
Your Tigers.
Your Tigers. Your flagship station.
Your app. Download it today.
The MLB lives here.
That ball is